The Dolo White Podcast is brought to you by Cinema Anywhere Nashville. Follow Cinema Anywhere Nashville on Instagram and book your indoor or outdoor cinema experience today. Hey, it's Dolo White, and this is the Dolo White Podcast. As you already know, Stacey Abrams made a huge splash in the 2020 elections. We all owe her a huge thank you for her hard work and contributions, but we should also know that there are numerous Stacey Abrams in your city and your state, and they deserve to be heard and thanked for their hard work as well. I live in Nashville, Tennessee, and one of my favorite organizations is the Equity Alliance, who helps build political power in the Black community. Now, when I first met my guests today, Tequila Johnson and Charlaine Oliver, and it was only a few years ago, they had already registered 90,000 people to vote in the state of Tennessee. Today, that number is 800,000 people. Yes, they are getting to it. I'm so glad to have them on the podcast today. So let's do it. Welcome to the Dolo White Podcast.
Polo Giddy. Live.
Yeah, what's up?
This is not live. It's completely recorded.
Broadcasting from one of the top recording studios in all of Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, that's not true at all. I'm probably at home doing this.
He's been called one of the greatest thinkers of his time.
Literally no one has ever called me that. I do kind of agree with it, though.
Right here.
A 2017 recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize.
That's just a flat out lie.
Talking politics, community, race, religion, entertainment, sports, and whatever the fuck else.
Yeah.
It's the Dolo White Podcast.
Episode 43 now of the Dolo White Podcast. My guest today, Tequila Johnson, Charlaine Oliver of the Equity Alliance, founders of the Equity Alliance. Just went over that and I almost messed it up. Welcome in. Thank you guys for doing this.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure. I love the work you do. So I think before we get started into all the details, maybe just kind of explain what the Equity Alliance is and what it does, because it really does amazing things here in Tennessee.
So the Equity Alliance, we are a statewide organization out here building political power for Black Tennesseans. We mobilize, we organize, and we build power to make sure that our community has what it needs. We look out for Black folks.
You guys register a lot of people to vote too, right?
Yeah.
What's the number at now?
So we're almost close to 800,000.
Wow. In the state of Tennessee alone.
In the state of Tennessee. Now, there are some crazy laws in the state of Tennessee, yes, that makes us have to, our work has to be done on a continuum, because sometimes people get registered and they may not turn out to vote. And so for whatever reason, and that registration is nulled out, and we have to re-register that person, or there are people who may have been registered to vote that, you know, maybe get in trouble and catch a felony, and we have to go back and register them. But yes, voter registration is a component of the work that we do.
And another thing you guys do, as I know you had a lawsuit against the state. Is that something we can talk about, or is it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, cool. Well, let's talk about it then.
What
happened with that?
We've actually had two lawsuits against
the
state.
Okay, nice.
You know, anytime Black folks get out here and do something positive, white folks want to slap your hand. So when we registered all those people in 2018, our Secretary of State, who I like to call the Grand Wizard, voter suppression, tried to pass a law to criminalize us, you know, and so we had to fight that bill off, and we sued the state, and we won.
Nice.
6 months later, but we had to come right back around in 2020 when COVID hit and sue the state again because they weren't trying to let people vote safely. So anybody who wanted to vote by absentee ballot, we wanted to make that possible. So we had to sue them so that everyone could have that opportunity. And we were victorious with that as well.
What is the defense they give you guys when they try to pass these laws? Like, first of all, what was the law that they passed that you guys had to sue them for? Was it that you outside organizations can't register people to vote? Was it something like that?
Yeah.
So what is the reason that they give you? What is he saying? He's saying you can't do this because...
Basically, they tried to say we were this voter activist group saying that we overburdened the system. Basically, submitted too many forms. We submitted too many paper forms to make it really hard for them to do their job. And so they tried to say it cost us, you know, so much X amount of dollars. So basically, they created this law saying, look, you can't submit forms that were incorrect, paper voter registration forms, which is the most archaic way of registering voters in the age of technology. It's just ass backwards.
It is ass backwards. It's bullshit. It's like, hey, we want everybody to vote, but then you guys register a bunch of people to vote, and they're like, oh, slow down.
Right. Exactly.
We didn't mean it.
Yeah. We want y'all ass to vote.
That's insane, though. And so you guys sued. You won that. Is that kind of what was going on in Georgia here? I know Georgia, I think most of the time now, when we hear people say a state is passing laws to keep black people from voting, you just believe it. And you're like, okay, I can half-ass pay attention to this because that's something that states seem to have a record doing if you look at history over time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, it's crazy looking at what happened in Georgia and the world looking at what happened in Georgia. And they're like, oh, wow, voter registration, voter engagement is really a way to build power, because we've been doing this for the last 5 years. And, you know, it's kind of been like, oh, OK, you know, that's really kind of not the way to do it. Oh, that ain't gonna work. And then Stacey Abrams comes out and there's like all of this power behind her. And people are all of a sudden like, oh, we need to build political power. That's it.
Yeah.
And so what we, you know, we've been doing that the way that Stacey Abrams did it in Georgia, with less resources than Stacey Abrams and with greater results for the last 5 years. And so it's kind of crazy when you think about it on a like a national scale that people are kind of waking up. Big shout out to Stacey Abrams, because it kind of did shine a light on the work that the Equity Alliance does. Or some of the work, because voter registration is just a small piece of the work that we do. But it is that one tool that we have that is powerful, that whenever you activate that tool, as you can see with the January 6th insurrection, all of that stuff that happened because black people went to the polls in record numbers.
Right.
And their power was on the line. And so they will do anything when black people turn out to vote. I'm not saying that we're going to vote out white supremacy. Right. I believe that we're not going to vote out white supremacy. We're not going to defund white supremacy. We not going to reform white supremacy. It is something that is ingrained in the fabric of this country. But voting, just like any other type of activist activity, is a form of resistance. Yeah. But it's a form of resistance that does several things. As you guys know, it hits them in the pockets and it hits them in the power. Yeah. And they don't like that. You know what I'm saying? It's a gut check. So
yeah, a lot of times we got to look at voting as like harm reduction, because a lot of times they're implementing laws that are harmful for our community. So we actually have to go out in record numbers to vote so that we can stop things from happening in our community.
And that's another thing I wanted to talk to you guys about, because it feels like the two-party system at this point, especially if you're black, it feels like you can't vote Republican, because that is, that shit is just crazy. They've gone to an uncanny amount of ridiculousness at this point. Democratic Party's not, it's not like great, right? It's not like, it's not like, hell yeah, I'm gonna, you might have a candidate here and there that you're like, hell yeah, I'm gonna vote for this person. But it's like, you know, it's not going to get the results that you really want.
Right.
And so in that aspect, it feels like the two-party system has already failed, but there's just no movement to do anything else at this point. It's just like, we're just going to sit here in this failed experiment and just keep voting for the lesser of two evils, which is what does. And I'm sure you, I'm sure your job is so much harder registering people to vote in that kind of system.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is why I say voter registration is a small piece of what we do. It's the thing that people notice the most, because it causes the most chaos for white people who want to hold on to power. When you have two little black girls out here getting more black people in their business, so to speak. And demanding accountability. But it's only a small portion of what we do, because I always tell people, you can't treat black voters like one night stands and show up on their door expecting a vote. And we don't do that. We're here year round. You know, 2020, we did amazing things. We ran the Our Fair Share campaign, talked to over 10,000 black people. $10 million of the federal money that came down the pipeline was spent based off of our results. You know, we did the Don't Sell Out North. We were out north after the tornado, making sure that people not only had the direct service resources they need, like food boxes and things like that. But we called in FEMA. We called in all these government agencies, and we made sure that predatory developers that were out there with drones flying over people's houses knew that we were the watchdogs that were going to hold them accountable. Right. And we had a hand on government, too, so that they couldn't backdoor us. Right. And so those kinds of things, they aren't the sexy thing. No. They aren't the headlining title, like,
no,
black
but
girls.
That shit is, it's needed, and somebody has to do it.
Gotta watch out for that.
And you guys are the one out there doing it. And I know we talk a lot about, I've talked a lot about voter registration. I know you guys do a lot of other things, but I think when you hammer home that you've done almost a million voter registrations in the state of Tennessee, I think that kind of opens people's eyes and says, oh shit, they're serious. Like, they're this is for real. Like, what, we should listen to what they're talking about, because they're producing results.
Yeah, man, when I tell you, like, folks didn't take us serious at first. And now they see us with the Liberty Collective. They see us now recruiting new leaders, teaching them the game, putting them out in position. Now they see like, oh, it ain't, they ain't just registering people.
Nah.
Now we coming for seats. We coming for people who ain't doing their job. We going to put, you don't want to do your job, we got somebody right behind you. We going to put up an office. And we got a 501c4. We got a PAC. So we can move the way we need to move to put people in position politically as well.
That's really dope, man. Talk about the Liberty Collective. That's kind of like a training program, no? I remember I saw it online and I read it on radio a couple times. Try to push people there. But talk in depth about that. Because I think, did I see that you guys just kind of like
graduated
yeah, your first class? Yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing. When we first started, one of the things for me, I'm like, I'm just an everyday Black person. You know what I mean?
Right.
I wake up, I go to work, I pick up my kids, and I just want to be safe. I want to be able to make money, and I want what I've put into this country, what my ancestors have invested in this, into this country, to be something that I can access, right? And so when we got into the political game, we knew nothing about politics. I don't even think I knew that I was getting in politics.
Right.
But we fell into this deep, abysmal hole of like all this dark shit. And it was just like,
now you know too much.
Yeah, you know, we're too deep. And we're like, okay, we in too deep. We need to get some more people down here. Because you know what I mean? It's so big. And so, but one of the problems was people don't just let you in the political side.
No.
It's a lot of gatekeeping. It's a lot of information hoarding. It's a lot of resource hoarding. I mean, I managed a presidential campaign for the sole reason of I wanted to work on a campaign at every level. Because when people work on campaigns, those are the people that are advising those candidates. And what I learned was there were people on those campaigns making $500 to $600 million for doing what you're doing right now, Dola White Media. Yeah. And I said, how do we get more people like us in these seats?
How do we get Dola White in that seat?
No, like Somebody could put Dola on, man.
Come on, man.
I mean, but it's real. Like, it's real. These people are spending more money is spent on political campaigns than almost anything. And no Black people are getting that money.
Donald Trump spent almost $1 billion on Facebook ads. Somebody is getting that contract to put those ads on Facebook.
Wow.
People are getting paid in politics and they are keeping us out. That's the one arena that they love to exclude us from because, one, that's where the money is made. That's where the government contracts are gotten. That's how people become millionaires. But we ain't playing that game. And so we trying to put our folks on to say, look, we sleeping over here.
Yeah.
Like, we ain't voting like we need to and we ain't exercising our power. So that's what the Liberty Collective is about. It's about like we got to expand our movement
and getting to know those details. Like, I mean, there's so much shit that the average person, myself included, doesn't know what's going on. I didn't know you could make $500 to $600 million in the wrong aspect of this business my entire life.
Yeah, I mean, the media, when you think about politics, the media controls everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There are so many people who don't know how to do media buys.
See, that's the thing though, is I think it takes a different type of person to want to control something. Like what I do with this podcast, what I do on the radio is I feel like if this feels right to me and this feels like even if it's a different idea that I don't necessarily agree with, but this is a system that's not working and this idea is here, let's at least hear this idea and let's try it. But we don't try shit in this country ever. It's like this is the way and this is the way we're going to keep doing it. And that's the big thing I think with policing right now is it's like, hey, why don't we try to put some more money in schools and maybe we don't need tanks driving down the fucking street and then it's a big thing.
Helicopters.
What do we need?
I mean, kind of why we, the Liberty Collective, because one of the things that I realize is there is no community without unity. And as Black people, we have so many different ideologies, like, right? Like, this person may want to defund the police. This person may be a police officer.
Right.
This person may feel like we need to reform. And we are so busy trying to fight each other's ideology instead of saying, how do we put all of those in one bucket and dump them on the head of the one oppressor that we have?
I think another issue is two things can be true.
Can be true.
You can want to defund the police and you can say even say we should replace this entity in our system and still say, yes, there are good police officers out there, but maybe they can do something else. within this system, right. and maybe we can get rid of this old thing that doesn't really work anymore. And those two, both of those things can be true.
And yes. And one of the things that we do is we try to get people to see America for not the things that are the byproducts of this failed experiment, so to speak,
right.
democracy. You know, we talk about the police, but the police are only enforcing laws that are put in place by these racist white people that we're not paying attention to because we're over here trying to, you know, focus on the police, when we should be talking to their boss. Yeah. You put some power on the person that's passing the laws, they make it harder for a police officer to be able to kick your door in. They make it harder for police to have qualified immunity. They make it harder for police to kill black people and claim probable cause because the laws don't support it. So police are just enforcers of a white supremacist law that has existed, that has stripped us of everything. We cannot fight this diabolical system on one forefront. That's why we need unity. Mm-hmm. You know, I tell the liberators this story that I heard from Louis Farrakhan. It was good. You know, shout out to Louis Farrakhan. He basically talked about what would you do if you saw a kid get hit by a car and the car pulled off and ran? Are you going to tend to the kid? Are you going to video record it? Are you going to call for help? Or are you going to chase the car? You can't do all of them.
No.
But I can't get mad at you because you're tending to the kid. And I'm like, Dola, we should be chasing the car.
Right.
And you can't get mad at me because I'm chasing the car. But if we put it all together, we can make systemic change. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's missing. And that is why we aren't defunding the police.
Yeah. And I think the other problem is, I mean, it's a system set up for certain people, black people especially, to fail. It's it's a system set up where we're going to, you know, let's put people in lower income neighborhoods, and then let's give them the people that need the best education. Let's give them the worst education,
right.
And then let's watch this cycle. I mean, how much wasted talent has been due to just lack of education in the world? When you think about it, you know what I mean. It takes people like you guys to be out there on the street. I remember I had Josh Black on a couple months ago on the podcast, and we were talking about Jamil at Gideon's Army, and Josh and I were talking like we couldn't do the work that you guys do because how do you go home after a long ass day of sometimes, I'm sure, just defeat after defeat after defeat. And I know you guys have won a lot of battles. I know you've probably lost, had a lot of frustrating day. To go home and deal with that, it takes a special person to have that kind of that mental space for it, to be able to go home and get right back up the next day and get back on it. And for that, like, thank you. You know what I mean? Like, for that, I hope you guys get all the flowers because you deserve it, because this shit cannot be easy.
Mm-mm. A lot of the battles that we fight don't make it social media.
Yeah.
They don't see us where we're in counseling. We go to therapy.
You have to. I'm sure you have to.
Twice a month, because you got to offload that shit somewhere.
Yeah.
And like, we got to have, you know, self-care days. Like, you got to stay prayed up in this.
Yeah.
Because we fighting it from all fronts. It ain't just white men out here. We get it from white women. Mm-hmm. We get it from our own people sometimes. Yeah. Like, we're out here fighting so much spiritual warfare. It's not funny. So we got to be equipped with that armor.
Yes. I go to therapy and I talk shit on the radio and spin records all day. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't imagine, you know, kind of where you guys go with
you
that.
You carry the weight of that world and the pressure, the expectation to perform. Mm-hmm. People just want to see you out here as like an activist. But I wear so many other identities. I'm a mama. I'm a wife. You know what I'm saying? I'm a Southern black woman, right? Like, I have all these things going that tells me society is supposed to say, well, look, you ain't supposed to succeed because you young, you black, you a woman. You know what I'm saying? You come from poverty. And we got to fight through all of that to get to tell our community you can be better. We can have better. So it's a balance.
And I'm sure having to deal with racism and sexism at the same time is something that obviously I'll never know that battle. But I can see that could be. I mean, you're fighting it on both fronts. I mean, you probably have older or younger white men looking at you like you shouldn't be here. You shouldn't be out here disrupting the system because you're black, and you shouldn't be out here disrupting the system because you're a woman at the same time. And it's probably a lot. I'm sure you guys get a lot of the audacity of these two women coming out here and doing
audacity.
The audacity that they have to question the system that has been benefiting me and only me for 400 years.
I love it.
Yeah.
I
think we said it, like, our work is like, is not the sexiest shit. Like, it's not the, like, when people think about activism, you don't think about the kind of work that we do oftentimes. Mm. But when Stacey Abrams came out, she changed the game up. Then everybody was like, oh man, like this is something, this is a real thing. You can really build power this way. But it makes it even harder because you're having to convince people of the power that lies within this type of systemic fight. At the same time, you're fighting this system that does not want you to be a part of it. In our work, we consider ourselves a Black power building organization because our work is centered at the intersection of economic empowerment and political empowerment in an independent way. I tell people all the time, I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. I'm Black. You know what I'm saying? Fuck that. I'm Black. And so our work is all about us being independent and Black people being able to have self-autonomous, independent power. And that may look different for Desmond, may look different for Charlene, it may look different for me. She might be a Republican. I might be a liberal. This person, I mean, she's not.
She said,
I mean, let's
she's
just
like, hold up.
We're not Republicans. And it's not because we love the Democrats, it's because the Republicans are the shittier party right
yes.
now.
Yes.
Exactly. If Republicans come out with a reparations bill, and you know what I'm saying? They like, you know what, we're going to defund the police, we're going to do all these things that Black folks want. Me and Ice Cube going to be talking to the Republicans, you know what I'm saying? It just is what it is. I'm with it. But right now, this party is the vehicle that is going in the direction that we need to go based off of what our ancestors have said, all of our activists are saying. So we have to ride with who's most in alignment. But it's difficult.
It is difficult. And I think we get on these teams and we make it too much about the team and we're not critical. Hey, I voted for this person and I don't like the fact that they did this, but I like the fact that they did A, B, and C, but I didn't like the fact that they did D. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean I hate my vote or I hate the person that I voted for. It just means that I had a disagreement on this and there's not enough of that. It's like, if you voted for somebody, if you were active on social media pushing a particular candidate and they did something that you don't like, you just kind of like, all right, I'm not going to say anything about this. Maybe not you guys, but I feel like most people are like this, though. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to say anything critical of this person because it's so much of a team thing that if I say anything fucked up about this person, then that means I'm a dumbass for voting for him. And that's not the truth.
That's not the way the system works. Like, I'm not the person that's out here like, if you don't vote, you're going to die. And our ancestors said we died to vote and you killing the race because you ain't voting or you ain't doing. I'm not that kind of Black person. I'm out here like, look, if I get 50 of us to vote, you know what I'm saying? We can put somebody in the mayor's office.
Right.
They got to give Dola those contracts then.
Yeah.
Like, I am more, voting to me is a tool. It is not the end all be all. It's one tool in a toolbox full of tools that we need to take down this house, right? Mm-hmm. It's an important tool. It's an underutilized tool. Mm-hmm. I think it's a tool that can do like multiple things. Like, it can double as a hammer and a screwdriver. And we're just like looking at it as a screwdriver.
Right.
But I don't think that it's like going to save Black people. I don't think, I mean, when you think about how America was founded, did America say like, oh, you know, Great Britain trying to tax the tea, we need to vote them out? No, they said we want to be an independent nation.
Yeah.
Right? We want to fight for our independence. And that's why we're like, we want independence as Black people. I don't want you telling me what I got to do, look, think. You know what I'm saying? I'm not riding for Joe Biden. I'm going to put that on a t-shirt. I'm not riding for Biden. You know what I'm saying? He's just better than Trump.
Yeah, that's a funny thing about Biden. Yeah. It's just like, I voted for him and I wasn't excited. Like, I was excited about voting for Obama, but I wasn't excited about voting for Biden. I was like, all right, I'll vote for him.
See, that's the thing about today's politics. Man. We get so caught up in like, well, these labels, are you a Democrat? Are you a Republican? And then we look at people on the ballot and be like, well, I don't like the candidates. We get caught up in the candidate and the personality and whether we like them or not based on how we going to vote. And then you don't like them, they don't excite you, so you're just going to stay home. But we can't look at it like that. We can't afford to look at it like that. We got to look at it as this person is better for my community and for my household and for my life. How do I use this person and wield this person as a tool to leverage that power to get the things that I want? So we got to look at it as a means to an end and not like, well, it's a popularity contest.
And I think it also can't stop there. You know what I mean?
No.
And I hate saying that because I'm probably guilty of this as myself. I mean, I watched a lot more political shit when Trump was in office because it was like, oh my God, what the fuck is he doing? And then Biden gets in and you're like, all right, I feel a little more comfortable with this guy. I don't have to pay as close attention, but we should. I'm fucking that up and I'm admitting that.
Biden passed the 1994 crime bill.
Yes, he did.
We can't not forget that.
Right.
So we still got to hold Biden accountable. Yes, we voted him in, but voting don't stop there. That's the beginning. We got to watch the news. We got to see what he's passing, what executive orders. And if he's
follow
not
the Equity Alliance.
Yeah.
Because we cutting half of that, you know what I mean, out. You follow us make sure you're staying on top of what we're doing. We're talking about, you know, our new subscribe to our newsletter. Our newsletter, we're breaking it down in like real black folks shit. The way we talk, we keeping it 100. Like,
I love the fact that you guys do your every. I always look at your candidate. Read your candidate profiles for the elections. And I love that you guys do that, because it's like, all right, what are some things, if you don't know, now you know who this person is, what it is they do, what it is they're for. And you guys have that in your voter guide every year, every election year.
Yeah. I mean, it's tools like that that help keep people informed, because a lot of this information, they're not just giving it out. Like, you're not just going to find this information. Like, we were looking for some stuff and it took us like a year to research some stuff once before, just because it's like, it's not just out there. Like, they don't want us to know some of these things. They don't want us to be able to take advantage of some of the things that they take advantage of.
No, and especially when it comes to things like city budget. Like, they don't want you to know what's in that city budget. No, I don't know what's in the city budget. I'm sure you guys do, because it's what you guys do.
But most people don't.
No.
Because like, it's a big document. You know what I mean?
And that's the other thing, is everything is so fucking complicated and written by lawyers. And so even if you do find it, it's English, but you don't understand the English that it's written in, because it's written for lawyers by lawyers. And if you didn't go to law school, or you're not trained in their vernacular, is that the right word? I don't know. But if you're not trained in that, you don't know what the fuck's going on. Like, if you've even my contract that I have, like the radio station, I don't know what that shit says.
Oh,
I don't understand it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I see
and
the
she
numbers.
Edit that out.
Yeah. They know
you got
though.
A ball and chain to your leg. Yeah.
They know that I don't know what the fuck that means, because it's written with that purpose. So the person signing it doesn't know what it means.
Right,
and that's how everything, it seems like, is written to me.
But you know what? The city budget is controlled by two founders of the, or not controlled, managed by two founders of the Equity Alliance.
Nice.
Quante Toombs, black woman who is the council chair, the budget chair, she was one of our founders. Christian Bugs, chair of the school board, is one of our founders. So, you know, take that and do what you will with it. But we're about not just understanding, we're about having our hands on it, baby.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We want to touch it.
Let me ask you guys this before I let you out of here. Are you guys hopeful?
Yeah.
So there's some hesitation there.
I had to think about, like, hopeful about what.
I feel like this is what gets me when I ask that question. Because when I sit around and think if I'm hopeful, I always think, like, things are better now than they were, you know, 100 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
But things are so fucked up. It's hard to be hopeful. But you almost have to think of it in that context to get hope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, have you ever been somewhere where things weren't fucked up, where, like, everything was good and people were like running in the flowers and nobody was smoking cigarettes on the corner. Everybody was just, you know what I mean? I kind of feel like a part of our nature is to thrive in fucked up.
It has to be. Yeah.
God. Hard when you say it like that, huh?
Yeah.
But I mean, you guys do the work day in and day out, especially with political shit. Like, I don't know how you could be hopeful with that, especially with money. Like, we get money out of politics.
I'm hopeful about my people. I mean, we've been through so much.
Yeah.
So can't shit hold us down.
No.
So I know, like, we're going to always persevere. We're always going to ride the wave and get through it. And then I think about my kids. I think about this younger generation. They ain't going.
No.
Like, Generation Z ain't going. So I'm hopeful that, like, the future is going to carry the torch that much further than where we drop it off at. So we got to just
keep
our eye on the prize in the long game.
I love these young people today. And I always say that because they're way more plugged in than we were. Like, I was worried about what I was going to play at the club on Saturday night when I was 18 years old. You know what I mean? And that's
organizing protests.
Yeah. Like,
a lot of younger people are like, I want to run for office. And I think that is what makes me hopeful. I'm not a fan of the political system, even though I work in it. I just, you know, I don't feel like it was set up. I know it wasn't set up with us in mind, but I do see a lot more of us stepping in and taking advantage. Like, it reminds me of the Reconstruction era. Like, black folks are becoming entrepreneurs. We're using our cultural currency to make money. We're running for office. We're sitting on committees. We're challenging systems. We're, you know what I'm saying, trying to abolish policing and all these. Like, we're doing a lot. And I think sometimes we get so caught up in what we're not doing or what's not happening that we don't take a time to just reflect and say, like, wow, like, we are making strides. We are, you know, standing on the shoulders of giants, and we're taking the torch and we're running with it.
Yeah.
So that is what gives me hope. Like, man, black folks out here getting money.
I mean, you guys. I mean,
if you just think back, if you just pull back a little bit and think about it, even just since the 1950s and 60s, when we got the Voting Rights Act. in the Civil Rights Act. That was like the last major thing we got for black folks, right? Even in the last 55 years, we've gotten a black president. Mm. We've gotten so many things in just 55 years.
Yeah.
Compared to how long we've been over here. So we are gaining momentum.
Thank you guys for everything you do. I'm sure we didn't even scratch the surface on everything you guys do. Mm-mm. And it's those little things, those little detail things that make the big difference in the end. So thank you guys for what you do. I say all the time that you guys and Gideon's Army and the Nashville People's Budget, you guys make this place better. And the work that you guys do day in and day out makes this place better. And it makes a better place for my daughter to grow up. It makes everything better. So thank you for that. If nobody else tells you, and I hope everybody, every time people see you up, they stop you and say thank you, because they should. And we all owe you guys that. And the fact that you started out, even back to voter registration, but I know you guys do more than that, but you started out registering zero people, and now you've registered 800,000 people. I hope somebody listening gets inspired by that, because it really is inspiring. It really is.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Dola White.
Thank
Always
you, guys.
A pleasure.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Cinema Anywhere Nashville. You can book your indoor or outdoor cinema experience right now, starting at only $350. Cinema Anywhere Nashville provides your choice of a 16, 24, 36, or even 100-foot screen, plus projector setup and sound system. This is a super dope service that wouldn't just be great for corporate and work events, but also birthday and holiday parties, or if you want to have a romantic evening with your significant other. Cinema Anywhere Nashville is perfect for all of those things. They have the right experience for you. Follow them on Instagram right now at Cinema Anywhere Nashville and book your cinema experience today. I want to say thank you once again to my guests, Charlaine Oliver and Tequila Johnson of the Equity Alliance, not just for being a guest on the show, but also for the amazing work they do. Make sure you follow them on the gram at the Equity Alliance. Follow me as well at DolaWhite101, DolaWhite101. 101. Make sure you rate and review this podcast and you subscribe and follow no matter what the platform is that you're listening on. Definitely appreciate you checking me out. Brand new episode next Wednesday. The guest tentatively is my wife, Kenya Raymer, coming on for a second time to talk about her trip and what she went through going to Costa Rica. However, I don't know if that episode's going to happen because we, of course, share a child because we're married and we have to figure out childcare, which is not always easy. So we're trying to figure that out. But keep your fingers crossed. My guest next week, my wife, Kenya Raymer. That's my time. I'm out. Thank you for listening.